Non Sequitur by Robling T. Read by Ultramay. This is part one of the Yours, Mine, and Ours series. Jack knew to the second how quickly he could get up to the Place at the first sound of those engines. He'd practiced. He had one ear open always, waiting to hear that God had forgiven him. Ironic, then, that Jack was already walking in the Place when the wind whipped up to plaster the litter of modernity to the legs of his trousers and lash his hair into riding spikes. Jack laughed breathlessly at the absurdity of it all. All thoughts of having lunch out for a change tossed aside at the sight of that ridiculous blue box forming from nothing in its usual spot before the fountain. Doctor! Got a minute to... And Jack stopped. Because as the TARDIS became real, he could see that one door was ajar, and on it the gory print of a man's hand, but too dark to be blood, or at least not human blood. Doctor! No time for subtlety or politeness now. Jack charged into the TARDIS and nearly fell over the staggering Time Lord, leaning heavily on the arm of a young man Jack didn't know as one long-fingered hand clutched uselessly at the spreading raspberry jam bloom across his chest. Knife? Gunshot? Hard to even tell, but he wouldn't still be on his feet and talking without that extra heart and more lung redundancy than any other species Jack knew of. Just when you think it can't get worse, the doctor gasped through teeth locked in a blood-stained grin as the brown eyes met Jack's. Sorry, Jack. I tried. No, no, no! Jack butted the young man out of the way and gathered the falling Time Lord into his arms, heedless of the golden fire beginning to crackle over his skin. Oh, no. Don't go, please. But it couldn't be argued with, this process, implacable as the mystery that drove Jack's weary heart. And in his arms, the doctor arched against him as the fires of regeneration blazed through the slender body Jack had had too little time with, reshaping limbs and features as the price of restoration. And as the roaring in his ears ebbed, he could hear the muffled, unfamiliar voice against his shoulder saying, "Let go, Jack. Can't breathe."
"No, I am never letting you go again, you foolish..."
"Sorry." Jack loosened his hold just enough to look down into eyes as blue as a summer afternoon and felt a knife twist in his own solitary heart. Fingers that were still long, but not as fine, came up to brush Jack's face. "You're going to be feeling that tomorrow." It wasn't like either of his other voices. More Cardiff than anything Jack could put a name to. And a good timbre to it that probably wouldn't go squeaky under pressure. Jack would miss that. "Never mind me. What about you?" Jack helped the Time Lord sit upright. This sandy hair was longer, flopping into his eyes in a way that Jack would have found incredibly endearing at any other moment than this. "Trousers are too tight. Blimey, that's always annoying. I seem to be broader in the beam all around, is that right?" he added, wriggling his shoulders in his suit. "You're more like when we first met." The doctor grabbed at his ears. "Oh, no, there's no resemblance. It's just you're solid. I always wanted to take brown eyes home and feed you right up, you know?" I take it brown eyes no longer applies then? Damn. Even at a time like this, he didn't miss a thing. He pulled a lock of hair out as far in front of his eyes as it would go to inspect it. Still not Ginger. Bugger! The Time Lord's companion had recovered himself enough by now to kneel on the decking beside them, studying the new features as if he were merely assuring himself of something he'd been expecting. "Do I get an introduction?" Jack asked, after a long moment of feeling that he had suddenly been dropped out of an ongoing conversation. "No." Well, that hadn't changed anyway. Not that Jack blamed the doctor for that, considering how much better his taste in companions seemed to be these days, and Jack didn't mind downgrading himself by the comparison. And he wondered just where the doctor had picked up this latest specimen and whether there were any more like him at home. Dark hair pulled back into a knot, coffee skin, eyes like living chocolate. Jack had just enough psychic sensitivity himself to grasp that there were more unspoken communications crackling between the two. And the young man cocked his head as if acknowledging a point well made, and silently took himself off somewhere, leaving the doctor in Jack's custody for the moment. "I have to get out of these clothes before I suffocate," the doctor said, pulling his tie off over his head and letting Jack take it out of his hands. "And you've got some second-degree burns coming up there. That'll need seeing to before you go. Trade you," this last to the companion, who had suddenly reappeared with a cup of tea. "Oh, you are getting weird. Go help Jack with those burns." "No, probably not. But I have to get out of this suit." The doctor chuckled at something mysterious to Jack and went off in the general direction of the wardrobe with tea in his hand. "I can talk," the young man said, startling Jack with a low voice filled with an edge of barely checked laughter. "It's just that I could never talk as fast as him, so it was hardly worth bothering to try and get a word in edgewise. Be interesting to see if that's changed at all." "The him I knew first was a little quieter," Jack said absently. "A hot, young, primarily telepathic companion. Well, that certainly was different. But it was still an uphill battle. You seem prepared for all of that." This got Jack an uncomprehending shrug. "Why wouldn't I have been?" Maybe he finally did learn his lesson about warning people about the whole regeneration thing instead of just springing it on them then. A puzzled look from the brown eyes. Jack had the oddest feeling he'd seen them somewhere before, now that he thought about it. The companion reached into a pocket and produced a device not at all unlike a sonic screwdriver and played it over Jack's face and hands. "That's arrested the worst of it. There's some deep tissue damage, but nothing you shouldn't be able to handle." The dark eyes met Jack's, and again, he had that haunted feeling that he should know them. Maybe if he pulled away the knot to see if the rest of that hair would fall away into loose ringlets, like the few strands curling around his face. "Jack!" The doctor stood in the doorway, dressed now in an old-fashioned frock coat and jeans. Well, the fashion sense and lack thereof seemed to be a constant anyway. With the hair tied back like that, it made Jack think a little of his own days back in the Wild West, the look of a cowboy who'd put on his good coat to meet company. "How do you do that?" "I know you, Jack." The new mouth looked very well suited to smiling, at least. "Better than it would be safe for you to know at this point. This isn't really when I meant to set down. It's just that the emergency return can be a little imprecise. I obviously haven't had much occasion to test it under actual conditions, after all. I'm touched to think that here is where you consider your safe haven," Jack said. "Seemed like a good idea at the time, To have the TARDIS snap back to the rift if anything went seriously pear-shaped on me. Better than running out of petrol on some moon, anyway. That certainly looked like it went an orchard of pear-shaped for you, whatever it was. The doctor's shoulders sagged. We'll be at leisure to discuss it someday, I hope, the Time Lord said. But you've probably seen too much for now as it is. Before Jack had quite realized it, he'd been gently but firmly walked back through the console room and deposited just outside the TARDIS. Thank you, though, for being there. With an unreadable look from the new eyes, the doctor disappeared into his ship. The companion stretched up to kiss Jack on the forehead. See you soon, Uncle Jack. And slammed the doors in his face. But not before Jack heard a distinctly disapproving snort.
Well, if you were trying to mess with me to throw me off from a paradox, it worked,
Jack thought, too startled even to back away as the engines roared to life.
That one's a keeper, all right. Both of them. Wonder when this was for him, anyway.
And when, much, much later, Jack found the strip of fabric that had once been a tie in his pocket, stained dark with blood no laboratory on this world would be able to make sense of. The sensible thing would have been to burn it, or to file it away so deep in the archives that it would never be found. But somehow, that never did happen. Did it, Jack?